Greetings, 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 everyone. This is your So Jazzy Homegirl Media and Podcast host. Jazzy Jones is in the building. Shall we get somebody to cheer for me? I'm just asking. Maybe not. Sound effects does not work. Production, where are you when I need you the most? But nevertheless, I'll do it for myself because sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And if you don't know that, you will learn on this show today. Why? Because I have a wonderful guest in the studio. Y'all know how I do it. I will say it every single time. I have beautiful people inside and out that come on this podcast. And today is no different. And I'm going to bring our guest, Stephanie M. Freeman, in just a moment, right after I bring in the non-intro. I'm going to just stop calling it intro music and just call it music because that's really what it is. But once again, we want to promote Just Singing. That's JussSingn. You can find her on iTunes, Spotify, Instagram, TikTok. She is saying, listen, play my music, y'all, because I need a billion people to hear it. So let's hear what she has to say. It's called Jess Sees the Day, honey. And we're just going to go all the way to Capriotem, honey. Capriotem.
Man, I'm just tired.
And y'all can dance if you want to. While we're waiting for her to bring us in, go grab your favorite choice of beverage. Today, I have some mixed tea and lemon and mint and such. Sit back and kick your feet up while we listen.
Just seize the day, just seize the day. Tomorrow's today, just seize the day. Just seize the day, just seize the day. Tomorrow's today, just seize the day. Spending all my time thinking about how things could turn out. Wasting all my time delaying what's already mine. Man, it's just confusing. My mind goes, but I'm not moving. Excuses pile up, it's useless. The promise is nothing's promise. To no one, so make the wise. Choice, choice. Just seize the day, just seize the day. Tomorrow's today, just seize the day. Just seize the day. Tomorrow's today, just seize the day. You may want to scream and shout, but don't ever leave me for time. I can finally face it. Change brings fear, so change. Without change, I stay the same.
Without change, I stay the same. Y'all listening? Y'all better listen. That's Just Singing, y'all. Just Seize the Day. Just Seize the Day. Listen, this song is so important to me because we've been on this series, as they say in ministry, honey, and the series continues, part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But we've been going over some wonderful topics with our guests coming on, talking about their experiences. And we've been going from pain to power. And I had to add a little bit in my meditation about the show and about that series. We don't want to just stop from pain to power, because then we would kind of, you know, take it upon ourselves to just, hey, I'm powerful. But what are we doing with the power? We then have to reach back and empower others through our experiences and through our overcoming. And so this show made me say, let me knock, 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 knock. Hey, Stephanie, I need you to come on, hop on the podcast, because you got something to tell the people, right? You got something to say that I believe is going to be life changing during this series, because you've been through a few things. You've been through And so I'm going to stop talking because I want to bring her on. And she has accolades. Y'all know how we do. And for those of you that don't, you'll find out. I'm not going to do no whole lot of introduction because then it's going to be a repeat. Have you ever been in one of those ceremonies where people read this long introduction? The accolades are beautiful, and I never want to discredit anybody's accomplishments. But then they get up and start saying the exact same thing. So I figured I'm going to cut all that out. Let Stephanie M. Friedman, the one, the only, come in the room and tell us all about herself. Welcome to the podcast, sis.
Hey, Jazzy.
Hey, hey, hey.
How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Let me see if we can get your volume up because I don't hear you so good now. Let's see.
Is this better?
Much better, much better, much better.
Maybe I just need to talk a little louder.
I think you need to talk a little louder because we need.
Sometimes you just need to come on in the room.
Come on in the room here. Come on in the room. Get close to that screen and go on and tell us all about yourself.
Let me set up.
There we go. There we go. We can see you and we can hear you so much better there, dear.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for inviting me to be a part of this podcast. You know, you and I have known each other now for some years.
For some time.
And we probably don't know each other as well as we probably going to.
Listen.
Okay, after this.
Connection.
To God be the glory.
Come
connections.
On. Come on.
I want to first say that song was beautiful.
Isn't it wonderful?
And I'm going to need a copy of that.
Yes, going to send you all the links.
Stood out to me.
Yes.
That is definitely applicable to my own personal life story. So it really resonated with my spirit, which was really a blessing to kind of start out our conversation. So that young lady has a beautiful voice and a beautiful message behind the voice. So
I can't wait to, she's going to come on the show. I cannot wait for everybody to hear her story and how that song came about. We all have a story. Lord, don't get me started.
Listen.
We all have a story. That's why you're here. What do you do in the middle of the storm? Not you know, this one, and that title came to me so clearly. And I want you all to know, we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about.
Right.
We didn't have this whole setup. I just felt it's time for you to come and share with our audience. How do you weather a storm? And not only weather it, but come out on the other side where you can empower, because many people go through the storm.
Right.
And they look like the storm.
Okay.
They look like the storm. We can just call them Stormy.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Come on, Stormy.
But you have gone through some storms, some tsunamis. Okay.
Some tsunamis. Okay.
But you don't look like it. And now come on. Come on, that we don't look like what we've been through.
Hallelujah.
You don't look like
it.
And you're still able to encourage to say, but you don't have to stay stuck.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what we wanted to talk about. So once again, Jazzy, slide back.
Okay. Well, let me introduce
Stephanie
myself then, first of all. Okay. So my name is Stephanie Friedman. Okay,
hey,
those
Stephanie.
That don't know me.
Hey.
There's so many, you know, you talked about accolades and things that we have accomplished. I think that when you look at my bio that I sent you, it looks like I have accomplished a lot, and I have.
Right.
However,
right,
I'm still a work in progress, and I have not accomplished all that I want to accomplish, even in the bio that I shared with you. And when I say that, I mean that is the vision. The full manifestation of that vision is still in process.
Yes, yes.
So to try to be as succinct as possible, my name is Stephanie. I am a registered nurse by profession. I have 35 years of nursing experience.
Come on, nurse.
In emergency services, telehealth nursing, pharmaceutical sales support, and case management.
You are the conglomerate of nursing.
Listen, I have a lot of experience. And interestingly enough, my mom is also a registered nurse. She's the one that convinced me to go to nursing school when I was a teenager, a very rebellious teenager. That's part of my story as well. But I won't go back that far as my story yet, unless it's applicable. But she talked me into going into nursing. I actually wanted to go to art school.
Wow.
To be a computer animator. And my mom at the time did not want me to go out of state to school where I had to go in order to go to school for what I wanted. And so being the wonderful mom that she is, she felt that nursing was a profession that I could enter, that I will always have a job.
Right.
Always be able to take care of myself.
Right.
And have that professional stability. It wasn't my first choice, and I've actually had a love-hate relationship with it all of these years. Mm-hmm. However, I'm very grateful to my mother, because especially during the pandemic, right? This,
I wish I could just roll a video
Listen,
of the pandemic, you and the pandemic.
Listen, being a nurse at that time, it was a blessing for me to be a nurse. And while I was not working on the front lines, I was doing case management, it still allowed me to be able to support my family, which was a blessing.
Right, right.
Afterwards, I got laid off for 6 months. And but before that, I started a business that is still, honestly, since that time in 2020, is still, I'm still trying to lay the groundwork and, mm-hmm. and set it up the way it needs to be set up for many reasons, partly because all the storms I've been through. Okay. And really not being ready to walk in what I thought I was ready to walk in. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But long story short, I have a business. My business is called Kaleidoscope Healthcare Communications. And we endeavor to educate health providers on how to connect with, care for, and relate to LGBT patients. There's a lot of health disparities
yes.
in the LGBT community, yes. particularly communities of color.
Yes.
And with the pandemic, that was highlighted even more. But because there's such a disconnect between our community and the healthcare profession as a mm-hmm. whole, then our needs as a community are not being met. And so I saw an opportunity to stand in the gap as a LGBT identified woman that happens to be a nurse, to be a bridge to between the two communities.
And happen to be not only LGBT, not only a woman, but a woman of color.
A woman of color and right. a woman of God, because I'm also a pastor.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on, happy and gay.
Come on, happy and gay. Yeah. So I bring a lot of things.
Diversity.
To that space. And not only that, from a spiritual perspective, having been a pastor, I'm not, let's say, I won't say I'm not walking in that role, because
I am in
a different way.
Yes. I was going to say, no, you're walking in pastorship. You're not walking in the walls.
I'm not walking within the walls of a church.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
For many reasons, but I have been ordained as a pastor. Before I was ordained as a pastor, I was operating in that capacity.
Right. Right.
In an unofficial way.
Right.
And so my biography entails a lot. It's mm-hmm. like a cornucopia of different things. It's like a gumbo, if you will.
Can I dare to even say, because we share the Kaleidoscope name in business, another business that I do, and I was so tickled when I saw the name of your business.
Oh yeah.
But you are a kaleidoscope. You mm-hmm. are the very essence mm-hmm. of the name of the business.
And because whichever way you turn it.
Yeah, whichever way you turn it is where you adjust in business, where you adjust in ministry, where you adjust in life. It's your adjustment. And whoever perceives you in that manner is who they will get.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and what you get is based on your perception of what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With a kaleidoscope, you can turn it all different kind of ways, but you interpret what you see based
That's
on
it.
How you turn
right.
it.
Right.
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 And so, that's one of the reasons why I believe the Holy Spirit gave me that name, mm-hmm. because it takes all of that to get the beautiful picture.
Right.
If you only had two colors in the kaleidoscope, it would not be as nearly as beautiful as it is if you add 50.
Come on. Yes.
So I bring a lot.
Yes.
You and my life is a kaleidoscope.
Listen, I was like, oh, what? I didn't know that. What? Listen. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. But that's how it should be. I say often, and hopefully I'll say this for the rest of my life. If you can't see God in me before the collar, if you can't see the service, the servitude in my life, in all of these titles and positions, if you can't see the servitude, then why? I don't need the accolades. I don't need the scroll.
Right.
You should see the gift before the gift speaks.
Well, and what I've learned in the last probably 5 or 6 years in particular, since I stopped pastoring, is that our relationship with the Lord is so much bigger than our title, our perception of who mm-hmm. God is, mm-hmm. our perception of who we think we are. You know, there's things that happen in your life that will literally destroy all of that and bring it down to rubble. And you have to rebuild your faith from there. And I've been there. I've done that. Ooh. And that's what I'm still coming out of, if you want to know the truth.
You know, they talk about, I remember taking a class, and it was talking about the devastation of a church hurt.
Ooh.
And I used to say this many, many years ago because I was called into ministry at 16, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to understand who the God of my mother was for me. Mm-hmm. And then having to recognize that, thank you for that foundation, but I need the God of Jazzy.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I need that independent, mm-hmm. that individual relationship that will guide me through practicality. Mm-hmm. Through the humanness mm-hmm. of spirit, because human and spirit came into one flesh. And we tend to want to say, spirit, 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 I'm blessed and highly favored. That's great. Mm-hmm. But I just was diagnosed with cancer yesterday. See mm-hmm. the humanity? Mm-hmm. Not me personally, but mm-hmm. but you see the humanity mm-hmm. says, I got to deal with that while I'm blessed and highly favored says, let's just forget all of that. Oh, God will fix it. Let's just pray it away. Let's just act like I don't have hurt feelings or hurt mind or hurt bodies.
And well, nobody knows what you go through behind closed doors. You know,
except your pillow. Except your pillow.
Listen.
Maybe your wife, your husband, your dog, your cat.
Your wife mm-hmm. might not even know.
Your partner doesn't know. Because there are many things that we share. Many. Mm-hmm. But in the stillness, the way deep down in the pinky toe, mm-hmm. only your pillow knows that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that pillow is catching every tear.
But what do you do when you can't cry no more?
You
what do you do when you don't have no tears?
You suppress.
You are so empty and devoid of feeling because you have experienced so much that you can't even articulate it. It can't even mm-hmm. come out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I know what that feels like. I'm coming out of that.
Listen, I'm going to high five you through the whole screen.
High five,
okay?
Girl.
Okay. Listen. Okay. Through the whole screen.
And yes. The reason why I say that, Jazzy, is because, to be quite honest, I'm still trying to navigate my way out of that place. Like you mm-hmm. see me on social media, I'm being encouraging. I'm trying to stay positive, mm-hmm. encourage people. God blessed me. And that's one of my gifts is the gift of encouragement. Mm-hmm. I'm posting it for me before I'm posting it for anybody.
Baby, when people understand that though, when they understand that the message I'm giving to you is the message that boomerangs back.
Listen, it's the message that I have to give myself or else I'm going to crack.
That's it.
Okay. I sat back and I thought about like what part of my story I want to share because it's so extensive. My story mm-hmm. goes all the way back to my childhood. Of course, mm-hmm. all of our stories go all the way back to our childhood.
Yeah.
There were so many things that happened in my childhood mm-hmm. growing up mm-hmm. that has made me the woman that I am. But I'm still coming to a place right now where I'm at 57 in a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
just now beginning to really know myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I came out at the age of 42.
Mm-hmm.
I was 42. So when I thought about and sat down and contemplated where I wanted to start, even the discussion about me and my story, it has to start with my coming out experience.
Okay.
Because before then, I was who I needed to be for everybody else. I was honey, in a that's marriage. A story.
Listen, that is a story
by
right
itself.
There. When by we itself. Have to take on, oh, when we have to put on the cape,
mm-hmm.
right? When we have to go in and
don't
become,
forget the mask.
And the mask always goes with the cape.
Not necessarily. Now, there are some superheroes that just got a cape.
Well, I'm going to just go with Miss the Invisibles because, you know, they, girl, that's my, yes. listen, if yes. I got to be somebody, I'm going to be the Invisibles and I'm going to mm-hmm. be Wonder Woman because I need an invisible yeah. plane. Invisible shields activate.
Yes. All of that. Yeah.
Right. So that's a story within itself that I think most of us mask up, we cape up, mm-hmm. you know, we with the S on the chest and we are that woman for everybody. I want to come back very soon and have a show where men and women, but you know, I am a women's empowerment minister. I am that's important to me to make sure that we're whole, healthy and well, right? Mm-hmm. But I do want to have another podcast at another time to talk about this very I'm tired of being strong. Hello. Mm-hmm. I want to take it all off.
Mm-hmm. Please.
I want to fall in the middle of the floor. I want to cry my cry. I want to do like Viola Davis. I want to snot up and everything.
Please. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Before I miss it. We don't take it off. Mm-hmm. It gets taken off of us. When you walk with Christ, when you walk with the Lord and have a relationship with God, at some point, He is going to strip all that off of you, whether you want it gone or not. Yeah,
I can agree to that.
Let me tell you how I know that to be true. Mm-hmm.
Come on, Stormy.
My coming out experience
mm-hmm.
was traumatic.
What?
It was very devastating. I've known practically all my life that I was attracted to women. Mm-hmm. However, growing up in the traditional Black church,
right,
I
was
didn't
not
get
allowed.
Into the traditional Black church until I was in my teens because my mom is the one who led me to Christ. I did not know then that it was okay for me to be okay, be who I am.
Say it one more time. Please say that one more time.
I did not know then. And still struggle now sometimes with the fact that I am okay as a gay woman. That
being
loves
okay.
God.
That's it.
That is okay for me to be who I am. First That's and it. Foremost, because God knew and knows who I am before I ever got here.
Come
Matter
on.
Of fact, we agreed in the spirit realm about my journey before I got here.
Come
I'm
on, Stephanie
this thing
M.
out
Freeman.
Backwards. I'm not walking this thing in my own knowledge. God
Come
knew
on.
And foreknew and predestined uh-huh. me to Come be who I am. When I got here.
Honey, we about
I'm
to have
coming
church.
To the knowledge, okay? So we could just start there.
But we can stop and start again.
I was living my life for everybody else.
Yes.
I never knew how to stand up for myself because I was abandoned and rejected by my father all my life. I never mm-hmm. knew what it meant to have a father in your life. The only father I ever knew was my grandfather who loved me more than anything in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And he died when I was 11. So when he died, it took away that fatherly influence. So growing up, even my perception of God has been distorted because I never had a point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So even to this very day, I still struggle in my relationship with God sometimes because I cannot perceive him as a loving father when my own natural father still to this day denies me.
Gotcha.
Even after having proof of me being his child.
Yeah, gotcha.
He still won't accept me, right?
Gotcha.
So when you grow up in that kind of situation, you have this altered perception of who God is that the enemy can use to cause you to continually stumble, right? So I'm married. When I came out, I was married. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I was married to my ex-husband, my children's father. I have two adult sons. And never wanted to get married when I married him, right? It wasn't that I didn't love him or care for him. It was that I did not feel I was ready to get married. However, I didn't feel confident enough in myself. I didn't feel sure enough in my ability to have and maintain a relationship. I said yes to the first guy who asked me because I thought that nobody else would ever ask me.
Gotcha.
So I married him all the way up until the time the judge said to him first, do you take this woman as your lawfully wedded wife? All the way up until the time I heard him say no, say yes, I still didn't want to do it.
Wow.
If he had asked me first, I don't know that I would have married my ex-husband. Right.
Wow.
We both were very broken people and we bought that brokenness because we were young.
And
we
most
bought
of
our
us,
brokenness
most
into that relationship like everybody does.
I was going to say young, middle age, older, vintage. We all, and until we do a self-check, right? And even when we think that I'm so good, I've done the work, I think we misunderstand work and working.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a place where the work has to start and that, okay, on this level, whew, we've done that work. But over here on this level, we will now start over and have to continue working. That's a life. That's
now.
A life. That's a lifelong. It's a lifelong thing.
It don't start though until you mature and you come to the place of where you recognize that work needs to be done. Because I never had a point of reference. My mom was never married. You know, all I saw growing up was my mom working to take care of us as a single mother.
Yes.
I saw dysfunctional relationships even that she had. And for the most part, from the time I was 10, when I left my grandmother's home, up until the time I graduated from high school, my sister and I took care of ourselves a lot of times because my mom was always
was
at
working.
Work. So I never had a point of reference, even in relationships. All I saw was dysfunction. So of course, me with my immature self went right into a marriage, bought all that dysfunction, and stayed for 21 years complacent. Because that's what I thought was expected of me as a good Christian church
girl. Yes.
Work it out.
Pray about it.
Even though I denied all of the things that were going on, I think that my sons, my children's lives would have been better and they would not have experienced some of the trauma that they experienced had I left.
Yes.
But I didn't have enough confidence. I didn't have enough self-reliance in myself. I didn't have enough knowledge. I didn't talk to people about the problems I was going through. So when I left,
and then
my
who would you? And who would you have talked? Because for the Black church, for the Black and Brown church, and I mean in general, but we do know specifically in our culture, you keep your business in the house.
Yes.
Period. Oh, take this outside? No. So who would you talk to? And then they did not believe in therapy. That was a no-no.
Right.
So who are you going to talk to?
I didn't talk to anybody.
No.
I kept it all in. I suffered from depression for many, many, many years. And I still fight even to this day to manage it because it's not something that you just automatically get
over.
You have to work it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But long story short, I was married to my ex-husband for 21 years. He knew that I was attracted to women because I told him. And even though I did not cheat on him with a woman let me back up.
Take your time.
I cheated on him before. He cheated on me throughout the whole entirety of our relationship.
Wow.
Me in my ignorance, I cheated on him once at the beginning of our relationship when I was in my early 20s. And when I left him at the age of 42, I cheated on him with a woman. That was my first girlfriend. However,
thank you for your vulnerability too. This is going to help.
Is what it is.
Listen, this show is about, what did I say? From pain to power to empowerment.
From pain to power. Exactly.
And to empowerment, because now somebody that will hear this show will say, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm in that situation.
Exactly.
Right. I'm in that very exact same situation. So they're sitting on the edge of their seats. Like, what do we do? What do we do?
Yeah. It's a real situation because it happens every day. Yeah. And had I had enough confidence in myself, enough love for myself, enough self-esteem for myself, I would have either left him sooner, right? Mm-hmm. Or I would have left him before I cheated.
Right.
But because I had already been through so much with him, at the point that I finally, because I was attracted to women for long before I cheated on him, right? And never acted on it. As a matter of fact, he knew because I told him. I was never the type of person to do something and not be able to tell you what I did. I couldn't hold water. So the time I cheated on him, I told him the first time.
Right.
Right. Some people would be like, you're so stupid for telling them that. But I'm a woman that lives in my truth. So I had to be truthful. Right. Regardless of the consequences that I suffered, and I suffered many consequences as a result of telling him, I still had to let him know. Even when I cheated with the woman, I told him. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to tell him, but I told him because the Holy Ghost. OK, see, when you got the Holy Ghost, he will convict you of what you're doing.
You can't even do wrong. Right.
Period. You can't even do it.
Honey, I've been on my way to do wrong and said. Listen to this oxymoron. I'm on my way to do wrong. Lord, help me find my way. Did I just
ask the Lord to show me the way to get to do wrong?
God help.
Right. That's how delusional we get.
And then you think about it. And in the middle, I still did it. But in the middle of wrongdoing, I'm saying, God, I know this wrong. Mm-hmm. Lord, and I got to ask you to help me in my wrong. Mm-hmm. I still cannot get away. But here's the thing. Thank you.
God will let you do it.
Come on, won't he give
you a
whole free
will? No matter how ugly my cheating was, and it was ugly, because I would get off on a Friday, and I say, I'll see y'all Monday. And I would leave my two teenage sons with my ex-husband, and I would go in the hotel and be laid up with her for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Unapologetic.
Yeah.
Totally feeling justified because of how he treated me.
Right. He did this. So I'm okay.
Yeah. His feelings. Yeah. Nothing. All I knew at that moment was that this person loved me, said they loved me, treated me like they loved me, and he didn't.
Right.
And I don't care. Right. And I did not care. I literally did not care. It took me a while to be able to even repent. And I haven't even fully repented to him for that because he didn't deserve that. Like, nobody deserves that.
You know what? And oh my God, this is so beautiful because it goes along the lines of what forgiveness really is about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not that he didn't do something to you. We have many reasons. I heard a message years ago and I do my best to live by this. We have many reasons why. Well, he did this to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in an abusive relationship, but I'm told this story many, many, many years. I was in my first marriage. I was abused for 10 years. And because of religious upbringing and teachings, you make your bed, you lie in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I'm getting knocked about, almost killed, because I'm a Christian. I'm in ministry. I'm a mother. And so I just got to die pretty much. But then if you tell the story again, well, I never told you to stay. Yes, you did.
You did.
You did. And all I was supposed to do is pray about it. And so when you have those type of scenarios, you have a reason to cheat. You have a reason. Well, I just killed them because, you know, I have a reason to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we feel justified to do, I have a reason. But here is where I have no excuse. I can leave. Right? Now, after going through that, I recognize that there are steps. I never tell a woman who's being abused to jump up and run because your situation may not be like mine.
Right.
you might die in the process of trying to leave.
Absolutely.
There is a plan that has to be in place for you to leave. So be very clear with what I am saying. Mm-hmm. Every single scenario is different, mm-hmm. but you can devise a plan. It has to be strategic. And God knows it has to be that one person somewhere that can help you to escape.
Yes.
But there has to be a place where you find that it's no longer any excuses for mm-hmm. a thing. Mm-hmm. And y'all, when I'm saying this, I use my own life. You use your own life, Stephanie. You can't tell somebody, hey, well, you know, if you're in that situation, if you ain't never been in that, please don't try.
Right.
Please don't try to tell me how I should.
Right.
Because you haven't experienced it, and you will not know what you will do until you are in that situation. My mouth is very slow now to, oh, girl, and if I was her, but here's the caveat. You're not her.
Exactly. Not well, her. In every situation, you have to have a plan of escape. Mm-hmm. Because just because he was not hitting me with his fist, he was hitting me in other ways. Mm-hmm. Right. And my wrong, and I was 150,000% wrong in how I left, because it devastated not only my ex-husband, it devastated my children, it devastated my family. I lost all of my friends. He came back and got a narrative at the church. I was a minister at the Potter's House under Bishop Jakes.
Yes.
It destroyed my credibility there. I had to leave that ministry. I was basically pushed out from everything I knew at that moment, including my family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My mama and my sister and my family. I still got an uncle to this day I don't talk to very much because of what happened and how I came out.
Yeah.
So I wish, in retrospect, because of course hindsight is always better.
Always.
Right?
Always.
And so, looking back on it now, I wish that I had done things differently. I wish I had the confidence to tell my husband this wasn't working for me no more and I want out. I wish I had left when I thought to leave 10 years prior, right? It's a lot of things you can look at after the fact and say you wish that you had done it. Now, it was very ugly. God knew that it was going to happen. It shifted me into being able to accept and embrace who I am as a gay woman. First of all. Mm-hmm. And so God knew that it was going to happen. He knew it was going to be ugly, and he knew it was going to happen the way that it happened. But that's when I was born. That's when Stephanie was born.
Come on.
Because now, since then, in 2010, when it happened, I have gone on this journey to know and learn about who I am. And that honestly is still evolving, right? Even as a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was the first devastating thing that happened.
Yes.
With my coming out, because I've had other devastating things that have happened. But with my coming out, that was the first. The second thing that I am still even navigating through to this very day is when I left my former ministry and I was a pastor. The way that my wife and I were betrayed by my senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they vilified us. It was a planned betrayal. The day before it happened, I walked in on a secret meeting between all of the parties that were conspiring against us. And the next day, they executed that plan. And then I found out from a very trusted and reputable source that it was, in fact, planned, and that my former senior pastor was the ringleader and agreed to the plan, which I never in a million years thought would happen, because I considered this person a brother. I considered him a spiritual father. I considered him a friend. And this is how God works. A few weeks before it happened, I pledged my allegiance to him in building the next phase of his ministry. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm with you no matter what. I will walk this out with you no matter what. I am here if everybody else leaves you. And God said, that's where you messed up. Because I didn't tell you to pledge your allegiance to
him. Come on. Well,
I told you to pledge your allegiance to me and let me walk you through this process. And me only. And And as a result of me leaving, my wife and I leaving that ministry the way that we did in humiliation, okay, mm-hmm. in humiliation and disgrace, which was what the intent was, it completely destroyed my faith. I am still trying to walk up in somebody's church. I don't trust none of them at this point. Mm-hmm. That's just where I've been, right?
When I say understand.
So when we talk about mustard seed faith,
yes,
God gave me a revelation about that. And I'm looking at a mustard seed that I have taped to my computer screen right here. I have a tape. Mm-hmm. I keep it up here just to remind me about mustard seed faith, because it's not that we start off with mustard seed faith, and some do, and often we do. Start off with our faith being just a tiny little mustard seed.
Yes, yes.
But when I was in the midst of my depression, I stayed in the bed and cried for weeks, months after what they did to me and my wife. My wife and I were devastated.
Now, you guys were gutted.
Gutted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To be in ministry as a pastor, leading people and having responsibility over people, and then to have a group of people to conspire to humiliate and remove you, when all they had to say was, well, you know what? This is the direction we're going in, and we don't need your services in this capacity. I would have gladly, because I didn't ask for the role in to start with. Okay, first of all, I ain't one of them kind of people that need to be up in nobody's church pulpit or otherwise. Okay. Let's start there, because there are a lot of people in the church that just want a title, want a position, just want to be seen. That ain't never been me. So all you had to say was, Stephanie, this is the direction we're going in, and we don't want you to operate in this capacity. I would have been okay being in the back pew, sitting back there with my wife as a usher and over the ushers like she was. We was fine. We didn't need all that. Right? Mm-hmm. So, but when you start off as a baby Christian and you have this mustard seed faith, God can build you up from there. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever talks about when God takes the hammer and smashes everything that has been built up, and now all you got left is that mustard seed again. What do you do when it's built up and then crushed down to rubble, and you got to live off that mustard seed? Because see, that's where I've been. Right. I've been having to live off that and rebuild my faith from that mustard seed. Mm-hmm. 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 That's where I've been.
What do you do? How do you triumph in the storm?
Yes.
Right? That's kind of the message of where we are. And hearing you, I'm like, God, why did I come up with that title? Literally, I kept saying,
I'm gonna tell you why.
I said, I know some, but I don't know all. And I purposely, not one time ever, asked you directly. I said, during some seasons that you guys went through, I would sneak in. Hey, sisters. Don't know what you're going through. Matter of fact, don't need to, but I'm here. Mm-hmm. If you ever need this shoulder, mm-hmm. if you ever need an ear, I'm mm-hmm. here. Because I'm not a girl. Let me tell you the tea. Honey, that was right. in my 20s when mm-hmm. I needed to be bigger, look bigger. Now it's, I really don't need to know the details.
Right.
Like when people come up and say, ma'am, can you give me $20? Because my baby, honey, I don't care about your baby. Or if it's not your baby.
Here's $20, baby.
Baby, here's your $20. Godspeed. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. Mm-hmm. But even as you're speaking, let me tell you what I hear. Let me tell you what I see. First of all, I've been all of that. Right? I just joined Living Faith Tabernacle here in Georgia mm-hmm. after being in Cali, and I'm still bi-coastal. After leaving church, after recognizing, because I'm a community person. Me, I don't need a call. As a matter of fact, I have to pray about it because I'm like, y'all, listen, this is choking me out. Number one.
Hey, yoke ain't no joke.
Number two, if my life is not showing Christ, why do I need a collar?
Exactly.
Second, 13th, and 20,000th of all, I just think it's not necessary. Right. I think it's a tradition that we followed, and that when we know all of our history theologically, stop. Please. Cut it out.
People love that thing though, girl.
But because it's almost like
it make them feel important.
It's almost like the police officers. Mm-hmm. It's almost anybody that wears a uniform, when you put on the uniform, some about it.
But there's some so many wolves in sheep's clothing.
But that's my point. My point is, it does not take. Now, mind you, a sister loved to dress. Stop. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I mean, sister loved her glasses. You know, love
all that.
Doing all that. But at the end of the day, at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, when I'm out in the streets and I'm feeding and I'm just giving a bottle of water and I'm just hugging people that don't smell so good, mm-hmm. they don't care what I got on.
They don't care about nothing.
The first thing they say is pastor. And I'm like, baby, I'm not a pastor. Mind you, I ain't got on no collar, no nothing. Pastor, please help us. And I'm like, baby, I love y'all so much. And I will do any and everything that I can do, but I'm not a pastor. And they said, well,
but you are a pastor, though.
But wait. This is my point.
Right.
Here is my point. I have on nothing. Mm-hmm. But you can see the light.
Absolutely.
You can see the God in me. You can see the love in me when I'm just trying to be low key. And I had to announce periodically, like every few years, I'll say, y'all do know I'm a minister, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, oh my God. But I didn't know you were in ministry. And I said, well, no problem. It's no, because I'm not here for you to know my collar.
Right.
I'm not here for you to know when I take pictures and I'm out in the street or I'm doing something, it's for purpose. Mm-hmm. People are feeling so disconnected to what the modern day happenings are. Mm-hmm. When I would go out on the street in outreach in ministry, and I would say, hey, baby, you know, Stephanie gave me these tennis shoes, these socks, because you did socks too. Stephanie just asked 200 people to give socks. Mm-hmm. Those 200 people want to know where their socks are. Is Stephanie keeping, you know, her and Bethany got socks up in the drawers? Mm-hmm. So this is how I'm going to do this without making you feel belittled or exploiting your circumstance. Mm-hmm. I've been homeless, honey. Mm-hmm. And I still look just as fabulous. Mm-hmm. Don't come up and take a picture of my hardship.
Right.
This is my house for a moment. This car is my house. Don't come up and I'm asleep in my car and you taking a picture, look at the homeless. Mm-hmm. But ask me to take a selfie. Why? Because mm-hmm. that's modern day involvement. Do you know how many homeless people run up and say, no problem? And they're so excited
right.
to be a part. They're no longer invisible. Mm-hmm. They're no longer smelly. Mm-hmm. And then some of them say, well, I don't look good. I said, child, I've been sweating all day. Come on, get in this selfie with me. Now I'm including mm-hmm. that person. And I said, baby, you know what? Stephanie gave me some socks. I got to let Stephanie know that I didn't put those in my drawer. Hold your pants, leg up. They be like, honey, look. Because I'm evolving. So here is the thing, sis. We have for such a long time. And y'all, let me tell you something. On this show, we just talk. This is a conversation. So y'all right. just come on in the conversation. We sitting down at the table. We at the sofa. You know, we're on the sofa. We having a little coffee, little tea. So we just talking. Because hopefully this conversation will help you. And it'll Absolutely. Help me. Because it's already, you already blessing me real good. Right. But here's the thing. We have been taught for so long religion. So when you're saying, I lost my faith. Mm-hmm. Can I just be honest and say, you didn't lose your faith, baby. You didn't. You did not.
He redirected it.
Let me tell you what you lost. Mm-hmm. You lost religion.
Religion. Mm-hmm.
That mustard seed. Listen, you know the story of, do you know the mustard seed once it's planted? You know how it grows.
Of course.
It's aggressive.
Of course.
Man, that thing is so aggressive, farmers can't even hardly control it.
Mm-hmm.
Once that tiny, 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 tiny little seed is planted, it's aggressive, babe. It's aggressive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really hardly kill mustard seed. Like, no, you almost got to burn it. And guess what? Them roots go so deep, they just come on back up and take over again. So, no, you didn't lose that. You can't.
You know what it is, though? It's yesterday, God, the Holy Spirit asked me a very interesting question. Well, before I say that, triumphant.
Mm-hmm.
On my profile, it says triumphant woman, because that is the name of the ministry that God gave me and Bethany, Triumphant Woman Ministries. And it speaks to being a triumphant woman.
Yes.
It speaks to triumphant living, fighting for your life, fighting for your personhood, fighting for your identity, fighting to live.
Right.
At the very, I've always been a fighter. I was a rebellious teenager. My mother will tell you, I was, baby, listen, you could not beat me in the area of rebellion. However, it's because that fight is in me to survive. I've always been a survivor.
Right.
So being triumphant and triumphant living is what has saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have and wanted to kill myself multiple times. In the past. Can we say recently? I'm ready to give up, but God won't let me because I am his triumphant woman, period.
Yes.
There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
Yes.
But that mustard seed, it really is about our belief.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the audio book of Deion Sanders' book recently, the 21 Ways to 21 Ways for Victorious Living on and off the field, something like that. I can't remember what the exact name of the book is. Mm-hmm. But in the last chapter, he talked about finding our peace. And one of the things that he said was about the power of belief. He said, because when you believe and you truly believe, he was talking about his salvation experience when he had drove that car off of a cliff and tried to kill himself. Mm. And how the Holy Spirit came to him and asked him a question. And basically, he got saved, gave his life to the Lord. His life has been totally different since then.
21 ways to win on and off the field. Elevate and dominate.
Elevate and dominate.
Deion Sanders, you know, we went to Hopewell Baptist Church way long time ago. Come on the show and stop playing, sir.
Yeah, come on, Deion.
Stop playing,
we need
Deion.
To see you.
We love you and we miss you, bro. We love your mission, bro.
Come on. But anyway, so when I was listening to that yesterday, because I finished listening to it yesterday, and the last chapter in particular spoke to me because it spoke about faith. It spoke about finding our peace. And I've been trying to find my peace in some situations even now.
Yes, yes.
The Holy Spirit asked me, are you a believer or are you a follower? And I had to sit back and I had to contemplate that for a minute, because Deion Sanders said in the book, when you believe, you are wholly committed. And when you are wholly committed, you are consistent.
Period.
And the reason why I have not experienced and all of its fullness, everything that God said that he was going to do in my life, even with my business, with my books, you know, I got 3 books in the making. Mm-hmm. I am good. I'm a visionary. I see a lot. He gives me a lot of ideas. I even partially implement things. I have so many fragments that need to be pulled in because I haven't been committed long enough and consistent enough to actualize what he gave me.
Come on.
So well, it's not that I... Emma, he said, it's not that you don't. He said, you have good ideas. They're all God ideas, all of these things, but you haven't been committed to anything long enough. So my question to you, Stephanie, is, are you really a believer of me or are you simply a follower?
Do you believe? But
no,
I believe, but help my unbelief.
I believe. But help my unbelief.
That scripture.
Because unbelief has prevented me from walking in the fullness of what God has said.
Yes.
because yes. I keep focusing on the trauma. I keep mm-hmm. focusing on mm-hmm. the dysfunction. I keep mm-hmm. focusing on the pain of what I've mm-hmm. been through and trying to survive coming out of that when all I got to do is have that mustard seed faith. That's why a mustard seed is so powerful.
That's
because
so
that's
powerful.
Where our belief is.
Baby, that's why. But this is what I'm saying to you. Even with that.
Yeah.
Your focus is not that seed is there. It's yes. rooted, baby. It's so rooted. Lord is so
rooted.
So
it hasn't been completely. That's
but
what
it is because
me.
Your focus mm-hmm. is on the religious side mm-hmm. of what we have been taught and indoctrinated.
Well, it
to
was.
Be,
and to, because right? now that's completely gone. Because well, I ain't trying to get
okay.
none of that.
But that's the point. That's where we started. You said when yeah. these things hit me.
Yeah.
It knocked me to the point that I didn't even believe I had the faith.
Yeah.
That faith been sitting there looking at you like this. Now, girl, when you ready to look at me, mm-hmm. when you ready to focus that on me, now I'm a mustard seed, so I'm resilient.
Yes.
Right. I don't That's need it. A whole lot.
Resilience.
I'm gonna go find some water. Watch this branch. Don't worry about it. You ain't gotta yeah. you but I'm here.
And that's where I am.
So when what I said was some sentences back, and we got about 5 more minutes of our show, but a few sentences back, I said, there is no hurt like a church hurt. Listen to me. I've had 4 children with no medication.
Mm-hmm.
4.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter passed when she was 3 months old. She had Zell-Swagger syndrome. Mm. Right. I had to force myself to learn the Kavage feed and the whole nine. There is nothing like a child dying that mm-hmm. you birth. Hey, mm-hmm. you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Divorces, fires, destroyed, lost multiple things. This last divorce, like, took me out, wanted to commit suicide multiple times, deal with mental challenges and physical. Girl, I can go on and on. Was raped mm-hmm. when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. What we
All
what,
of it.
What? I,
mm-hmm.
sweetie,
yeah,
I got stories for days.
Baby, listen, if we could just sit down and talk.
Come on.
Okay.
Let me catch listen. A flight. Let's catch flights and compare.
But
here is the
seat.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I have had 2 major church hurts.
Mm-hmm.
2. One when I was 16. One about 9 years ago. I was done.
Yeah.
God, I love you and I know you're my foundation, but I don't understand none of this.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to love people.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell
people.
Somebody. I just want to hurt. I just want to hug somebody that's hurting. Mm-hmm. I want to tell them that death is not the end.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell them that your business is still in you and I promise you it can come out and flourish. I just want to feed you because I want to give you my coat off my back,
mm-hmm.
9 degrees below in New York
mm-hmm.
and don't have a coat. I want to do things because it's my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do different. And I really just don't want to do different.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was hurt by the church.
Girl, listen. I didn't think I was going to come back from that.
No, I didn't. No, ma'am. No, and if this is something that the audience, you know, any of you that are listening, please know that we're on this radio talking honestly, verbally, and vulnerably, letting you know that it's a place that Lord knows it's unthinkable. And I wish you didn't have to go through it, but if you're going through it, because we're still here, we're telling you it's another side.
You can make it. You can make it.
It's another side because the church is the place that you go through. 2, when you're in pain.
Here's the thing for me. And it irritates me that so many people in the church, a lot of pastors will say, you know, you let one person hurt you in the church and you walk away from the church. And yet there are millions that are doing it. So they're missing something. In the fact that the church represents God.
Come.
And when the church entity, people in it, leadership that represent God betray the sheep,
mm-hmm.
it's like God did it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when
because that's your association.
Like God, that's your association.
Yes.
And that's who you put yourself up to represent.
Yes.
As a representative. And so to minimize the impact of what you did to me, to say that I need to just move on and get on and everybody in the church get hurt and you shouldn't leave God. You don't leave your favorite football team when they do. That don't mean nothing because they don't represent God. And at the end of the day, when stuff like that happens, it messes with your perception of who God is. And that's where the enemy try to get in and get you.
That's it. That part. But is it Ty Trebek? I think it's Ty Trebek. Ty Trebek. Honey, he just said something.
Baby, he laid it all out there. He was telling the truth.
He was. Listen, he said, if we get, and I've been saying this for so long, so I'm in total agreement. Not taken from him, but just in total, because this has been my message for a long time. First of all, I am a church without walls. I'm a church without walls.
We are the church without walls. We are the church. Living epistles read of all men.
When we come together in the building, it is for the uplifting and the edifying of the saints.
It is not
for us to have this club mentality of, you know, we're going to build megas. I am not against a mega. I've been in church since I was on the breast, honey, when it was still a thing where everybody was on the breast.
Right.
So I was born. My grandmother was a bishop.
Call us to have multiple locations. He called us to be out in the highways and the byways meeting people's needs.
Two by two.
Thank you.
Two by two.
He didn't call us to have North, South, Denver, Las Vegas.
That's a religious
Nigeria.
Thing.
Nigeria. He didn't call us to that.
That's an our thing. And he said, okay, y'all keep wanting kings. All right. Okay. You keep wanting position. Okay. But here is the thing. Okay, I'm going to bless you. But the reason why Big G, or Big J, as it was, walked up in the temple and said, let me go on and get this whip and knock some folks and turn up some tables.
Because y'all tripping.
Because what y'all not going to do is mess up my folks out here that don't even know.
They think this is that. Let me go on and turn these tables.
And let me tell you what you're not going to do up in here.
And so God wouldn't let me be a part of that.
Listen, it takes those. And I said this, yes, this is crazy. We're going to have to talk like 20 more times. Okay. Here is the thing. Everybody has a position. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a message. And we all have to remain in the lanes for the specific time. We might jump over into different lanes when given that opportunity, right? But everybody's not called to be Peter because Peter won't no joke.
Right.
I'm going to cut your ear off. That's what's going on.
Period.
I'm going to say what I say.
We ain't even going to talk about it.
I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to rock with my dude. I'm going to cut your ear off. Then I'm going to deny him. Come back at it. You know, we going to be all right. We good.
That's better.
Everybody's not a Peter. Everybody's not a Peter. Everybody has a position.
I'm a Thomas.
And Thomas had a place. Judas had a place.
Judas had a place.
what we must recognize is that we all are in position to do kingdom work.
Absolutely.
We're all. Whew.
And can be effective in the area that he put us.
Effective. But here is the thing. If he called dysfunction. Listen to this, my sister. He called dysfunction. Mm-hmm. He chose dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Not only did he say, hey, come and follow me, but he chose those that followed.
And he made it functional.
Everybody had a function in the dysfunction. Mm-hmm. As long as we remember that we are all still that same, no matter how many millions, billions, and trillions. We're all still the dysfunction that God called and chose. Mm-hmm. Let me show you how to function. Now, if you will allow that, I got you. Mm-hmm. It is when we want to walk around and be the big I am. And we all have those moments of ego. That's why he's in your weakness, meaning that we're going to be weak.
Listen, we are.
You understand?
Period.
We're going to have those moments of humanity where it cannot be just you. It's just not. You're not going to make it happen. It's not going to be done. And even when we fall and get back up.
That's where triumphant living comes from.
Say, Stephanie, I'm sorry. I apologize, honey. I messed up. I completely messed up.
Yeah.
Do you know how far that would go? I messed up.
A billion miles. Yeah.
I just messed up. In my humanity, I messed up. Yeah.
I'm learning how to do it even as we speak, right? You know?
Yeah.
That's where my triumphant tenacity comes from.
Yes.
Is because no matter what I've gone through in my life, the one constant, the one root, firm foundation that I've always had is that I've always had a place to come back to God.
Yeah.
And every time I come back to him, he's always there, always lifts me up, always shows me the way, always gives me the strength I need to keep going, always gives me the next move, the next step, the next whatever. I don't still am looking for my way. But he's given me that lamp unto my feet, that light unto my pathway, and walking me in the direction I need to go.
That manna is provided daily.
Daily.
That I don't know where it's coming from. Matter of fact, I don't even know what it is. Do you know I'm no longer looking for the how? I'm not looking for the how. I'm not looking for the where. I just, what will you have me to do today? I'm stuck on what? Hey, what would you like me to do?
Yeah.
Because... at this point, when people say, well, Jazza, what do you do? Well, first of all, I don't give up.
That's a whole word, girl.
That's
the first thing.
That's all I do. That's my answer now. I don't give up. Well, Jazza, God, you do so much. What don't you do? I don't give up.
That's it.
I don't give up.
Nothing else need to be said at that point.
Honey, that came from my good colleague, Dolo. I said, Dolo, let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to always use it and I'm always give you credit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people tend to be a little bit jealous or they tend to be a little bit off kilter because you're a kaleidoscope.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have many gifts. Mm-hmm. Because I am, and I tell people, I'm a quarterback. Honey, the visions, the creativity comes daily. Just, my mind is like a computer. Okay, throw the ball. So when you were saying, hey, but where's my consistency?
That's it.
So I am the Keller Williams of the one thing. What is the one thing that connects the dot to all that I do?
Mm-hmm.
If I couldn't do one thing, for those of you that are listening, if you couldn't do one thing, what is the one thing? My one thing is I could not live one day without helping someone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no function for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no function for me if I can't be somebody's smile, somebody's joy, somebody's good news, somebody's something. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even be able to function. Second thing is, honey, I got to dance. I got to do a little boogie.
Got to do it.
I got to dance like David did. And if you never understood that song, honey, please go to a messianic synagogue and see how the Jews dance. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
The thing is serious. But nevertheless, I digress. I want to leave our people that did not have to take time to listen to a word we're saying, because, you know, we just having a good conversation.
That's it.
But I know that this is a powerful message that somebody needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
What is your takeaway? What is that one thing that you would tell somebody in the midst of the storm, right in the midst? What is your encouragement?
There's a scripture that I live by. There's actually two. One scripture that I live by. I'm not a chapter and verse girl. I just say it.
Say it like it you says, feel it, please.
It says, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. So my takeaway with that is that because I'm created in his image,
that's
and
it.
In his likeness, he cannot and will not and has not disowned me. even when my faith is not there. That's one scripture. And then the other scripture that I have that I live by as well, that I never understood until I started going through all of the stuff I've been going through, is that, what is the scripture? Hold on, Holy Spirit, give it to me. Ooh, the devil is a lie.
Holy Spirit, activate.
Ooh, Father, what is that scripture? It talks about even in, hold on, sorrow.
That's okay.
It's basically talks about when the sorrow of our heart is made better. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me find this scripture. The devil is a lie.
It's so okay.
Basically,
it's okay.
It talks about sorrow is better than laughter. For in the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the scripture. Yes. Sorrow is better than laughter. Because even in the sorrow, the heart is made better.
That's what it says.
By the sadness of the countenance,
there
the
we
heart
go.
Is made
there
better.
We go. I was getting ready to say
that's my scripture.
It's Ecclesiastes 7, 3 through 8. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools.
That's it. I live by that.
Yeah.
Because I've been through a lot of sorrow, sis.
And it,
but my
and
heart
it goes
has been made better.
There
and
we
it's
go.
Still
there we
being
go.
Made better.
There we go.
The more I learn about who God is in my life, regardless
yes.
of my identity, it's my identity in Him
that's
that
it.
Matters.
That's it.
And that's what I live by. That's what makes me triumphant, overcoming any and everything that I faced, even to this very moment. That's what I live by.
You know, I love it because it goes into what I want to end with for myself, for us. And it is lean not to your own understanding, because, baby, you're not going to understand.
None of it.
You're not going to understand the hurt. You're not going to understand mama. And them and brother, sister, child, best friend, leaders, your coworker that you don't work with for 45 years, 30 years, turn on you in the drop of a dime. You're not going to understand why did this person live, but that person died. You're not going to understand what my daughter, my son had to die for what? Right? You're not going to understand when the pet passed. You're not going to understand when you were skipped over for the job. You're not going to understand that you dedicated your whole life. And then all of a sudden you got a piece of paper that said, guess what? We no longer need your services. When you lean not to your own understand, when you know God told you, pick up your bag and go here. Move your whole family. Quit that job, start this business and go here. And then you have no customers
and no money to do
and
what
no
you
money.
Need to do.
And guess what? And you can't call nobody and the money you loan somebody, they can't give it back. Right. You're not going to understand how you had 850 credit and now you have 352. Right. You're not going to understand how your lights are still on, though. How you still eating every day?
How y'all survived in a pandemic on one income with two grandchildren in the house? Okay.
What?
And a wife.
You're not going to understand anything, both of the highs
of
that you know you could never do by yourself.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to understand the lows that you know you can't get through by yourself. So lean not to your own understanding because His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But if you quiet your raging, warring mind, here's my second one. And just for a moment, when all seems so heavy, I'm a water girl. Cast your care. My brother used to own a fish market, so I grew up real country. We used to go deep sea fishing. You got your fishing pole, baby. You better throw it as far as you can. Cast your care. Cast all of it. Throw it out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? I promise you, it can handle it.
Yeah.
And then it uproots from you because guess what? It's not my responsibility to carry it.
That's it.
I don't have to understand it. Mm-hmm. When I started releasing in that manner, does that mean that I don't still do it? That because it comes, take captive over every thought that comes. Mm-hmm. Grab it, woo, because it'll if it roots, if that thing roots, you're going to speak it. And if you speak it, once you speak it, you're going to hear it. And once you hear it, you're going to believe it because faith comes by what? Hearing, hearing, hearing. So you can tell me, girl, you look good. And I'll be like, thanks. But it's something about when I stand in the mirror and go, girl, you look good. That faith is generated because now I've heard my own self put it back into me. It's now seeding. Now my heart has it. And out of the mouth, out of my heart, my mouth speaks. So it just goes in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. So
we got to let God heal our heart. We got to let him renew us. We got to let him renew our mind, or else all of those things will take over your mind. Yeah. So that's where I'm at in the process of my life and all of the struggles I've been through is trying to embrace the mind of Christ over and against my own natural mind.
Yes.
Because that has been the barrier for me.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm overcoming now. That's what I'm intending and purposing my life to do now so that I can begin to walk this next step where God has taken me. Because I've been like in a cocoon for like the last, since 2009, July 2nd, 2019.
Yes.
It's
but
time.
You know what? It's time. You're butterflying. It's time.
It's time.
And the beautiful thing is you don't have a choice. When those wings start popping out of the cocoon, you can try to pull them back all you want to, but I promise you they're going to come out. And the beautiful thing is you're going to come back so much more beautiful, so much more lighter. Because think about it. Caterpillar is a lot heavier than a butterfly.
Of course.
Isn't it amazing how once it goes through the metamorphosis, it's lighter?
Yeah.
Than it once was. So the weight that was on you, all of the weight, which is the hurt and the pain of that hurt and the betrayal of all of that's falling off. Because the more weight you are as a butterfly, I promise you, you can't fly.
Yeah, you're right.
So letting go. I want to give this book and then we'll end. And I want you to let everybody know how they can contact you.
Ooh.
And I want to do some things. We'll talk. I want to do some things with the organization. I see a lot that we can do together. But nevertheless, here's a book, guys, that I am just starting to read that is phenomenal. And it's called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Now, my time is real limited, so I have to do a lot of audiobooks, and I find that works really good for me. Then I go buy the book and I can highlight, you know, certain things. But it's by Lisa, and her last name is spelled T-E-R-K-E-U-R-S-T. Turkurst or something of that nature. I know I messed it up, but nevertheless, it's by Lisa, L-Y-S-A-T-E-R-K-E-U-R-S-T. Forgiving what you can't forget.
I need that.
Powerful.
I want that
y'all
one.
If you've been through some hurt, you weathered some storms, and you want to be triumphant, you have to find the forgiving through what you can't forget. And then it brings you to the other side of letting go so that you can blossom, so that you can be triumphant, so that you can rise. I say it all the time. Still I rise, honey. Me and my Angelo got something going on with Still I Rise.
Still I rise.
Even in my good, I'm sitting around this podcast, and for many of you know that I was 11 years of helping to build a former radio network with my ex, and we traveled all over the world, and we did some amazing, incredible things for two Black women, two Black gay women, and to fall all the way back down and have to rebrand, start over, and then be production and marketing and, you know, guest appearance and host and still I rise. But guess what? Whoopi Goldberg played a wonderful, wonderful role. And then Fantasia now has done a really great job as Celia. And Celia said, but honey, after all you can say to me, but I'm here. I'm right here. And that's where we are. We're all here. We're all going to get through beautifully.
Yeah.
Because that's how, you know, Big G don't do nothing little. Look at the world.
It's for his glory. I mean,
come on. Come on. So I want to thank you. I can't wait to hear the testimonies, not only from your own life. You and Bethany are such a beautiful couple. And I pray over your marriage. I pray over your business. I pray over your ministry. Because what would look like it's not working. Mm-hmm. What would look like it's going nowhere. What would look like it's not going to be successful. Dig deep. Be the mustard seeds for and with each other in your marriage and in your businesses and in your ministry. Be tenacious about it, right? Be aggressive with it and watch what God will do.
Thank you, sis. I needed to hear that because
watch,
you know,
what God would do.
You know, the enemy doesn't want us to be individually who God has called us to be, but mm-hmm. for certain does not want that witness with our relationship.
Oh, no,
but the
not
devil
at all.
Is a lie, and it shall come to it shall come to pass, it's
and it shall come
glorious.
To pass.
Yes,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, this turned into a whole ministry podcast, but that's okay. That's okay because
that's who we are.
I was getting ready to say we have to operate in who we are and whose we are. So I love you guys, and I thank you again and again and again and again for stopping. On a Saturday special edition,
listen,
to hear what we had to say, to take part in the conversation. Please join us on Talk About It Tuesdays. That happens any and every day but Tuesday and sometimes Tuesday.
Yep. Can I tell them how to get in contact with me before
yes,
I forget?
Tell them how to get in contact with you because I want them to reach out to you in any capacity that you will allow them to do so. You have a plethora of things to offer and definitely with the organization. I want you to come back on specifically though and talk about the foundation and what you want to see happen, things that you have planned to come up because this was what it was supposed to be in spirit led and mm-hmm. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
So give them your information and I will also post it on our social media pages as well.
So the easiest way to find me actually on social media would be if you go Let's Talk Wellness on Facebook, Twitter.
Common spelling. Is it common spelling?
L-E-Z. L-E-Z. Mm-hmm. Talk Wellness. Mm-hmm. Just
okay.
Les
like
Talk
Les.
Like lesbian, because that's what I am. Okay.
L-E-T-Z.
L-E-Z. Les Talk Wellness, because really, I represent holistic wellness, spiritual, physical, emotional, period. So Let's Talk Wellness on Twitter, mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook, all of those channels. You can find me that way. My Facebook is Stephanie Freeman Michelle. You can find me on Facebook that way or Kaleidoscope Healthcare Communications. If you want to connect with me for my business, you can go to kaleidoscopehcc.com and find me there. Or you can just inbox me on one of my social media outlets.
Okay. That way. So that's Stephanie Freeman Michelle on social media.
Yes, Stephanie Freeman -Michelle,
M-I-C-H-E-L-E. Okay. Gotcha. I'm going to post it on our social media pages so you can find her. Once again, we thank you and appreciate you all for joining the So Jazzy Homegirl Media and Podcast. Stay tuned and find out all of the good things that we're doing in the community. We have some book tours coming up in June. We have some wedding expos coming up. We have some health and wellness conferences coming up, some credit. Y'all, it's a lot happening. Listen, it's a lot.
I need to be a part of that.
I just told I said, well, you know, we're going to
listen.
But right now, I'm going to get off of here because my massage therapist.
Oh, come on.
Just walked up.
Yes,
my massage therapist just is like, hello, are you off that podcast? So I love y'all, but I got to go get a rub down.
Come on now.
Sister. Listen, health and wellness is so serious.
It is.
To me. And I have learned mentally and physically, if I don't rest the body.
Yeah.
And the mind, it will surely rest me.
It will. Rest
it will
you.
Rest me. It'll so I love you guys. Come on. I love you guys. We're going to have Stephanie back on the show. Give my sister love.
Love
you so much.
Thank
with
you
the
so
love
much
of God.
For having me.
Tomorrow, my ordination, I will send you the link.
Please do.
My reordination. Let me put it like that. Yeah. I honor the house that I'm in. And so I subjected myself to some new training, and thank God I didn't, you know, walk in this well. Once ordained, I always ordained.
Right.
Honey, when I say it has
Stop
been
it.
A blessing,
God.
And God has opened up some new avenues and some new doors in that field. And I love myself some Jeremy Tuck and the House of Living Faith Tabernacle. It's
Praise
a whole
God.
Different, it's a whole different,
yeah.
it's a different. That's all I got. So I'll send you the link. Would love to know that I got the praying angels there. Supported me in that. And then we'll just get together and do some great things. I love you guys. And we're out.
Well, we love you. Beautiful.